He is Lord. And because he is Lord, church, he must be preached. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, isn't that your job? Well, it depends on what you mean by the word preach. See, preach can mean a sermon. It can mean what I do on Tuesdays and Sundays, but preach also means to proclaim. It means to proclaim. To preach means to teach. It means to teach. And preach also means to recommend. It means to proclaim, to teach, and to recommend. Because Jesus is Lord, we have a responsibility to proclaim him. We have a responsibility to teach others about him. And we have a responsibility to recommend him to others. Amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look starting at verse 16, but before we start reading, the Gospel of Matthew was written by the Apostle Matthew. Now, Matthew was a relatively obscure member of the apostolic band. In other words, he was not one of the known apostles. You know, he wasn't one of the big three, Peter, James, and John. He was relatively obscure. Matthew was a tax collector or a publican. And in that culture, and especially the Jewish culture, he would have been considered the worst kind of sinner. Nobody would have wanted to deal with Matthew. And Matthew, when he was in the midst of doing his job, minding his own business, Jesus saw him sitting at the receipt of customs. In other words, Matthew was like a customs agent. Jesus saw him doing his work and simply said to Matthew, "Follow me." Amen. Matthew said, "Yes, Lord." Dropped everything that he was doing and started following Jesus. Became one of the disciples and had an up-close personal eyewitness look at his ministry. So Matthew writes this gospel, and he writes this gospel to Jewish Christians, and he does it for three reasons. First, he writes it to strengthen them because they were suffering. He wanted to strengthen them in their faith. But he also writes this gospel because he wants to warn them. He wants to warn them not to become lax or dull of hearing. Don't fall away to the things you have been taught. Don't put them on the side. Don't become dull in your Christian walk. So he wanted to strengthen them. He wanted to warn them not to become lax or dull. And he wanted to urge them to preach the gospel. That was the third reason he wrote the Gospel of Matthew. He wanted these Christians, even in the midst of their suffering, even with everything that was going on around them, he wanted them to preach the gospel and preach the gospel to all people, not just to the people they loved, not just to the people they thought were worthy. Because, see, the Jews thought only the Jews were worthy. So he writes this gospel to them. And here in Matthew 28, it starts off after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus has been crucified and buried. The chapter begins with the women who followed his ministry and witnessed his crucifixion, coming to the tomb to prepare his body. Now, his body was prepared hastily after the crucifixion, but they wanted to prepare it in a better way. So they come to the tomb, but they encounter an angel. And this angel shocks them. And he says, "Fear not, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said." See, Jesus had told his followers, "I'm going to the cross, but I'm going to raise from the dead." But they didn't want to hear it, and they wouldn't keep it in their mind. And the angel reminds them, "He told you he was going to get up. He has risen as he said. And this angel had rolled away the stone. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Come look. You won't see the body. You witnessed his crucifixion. You knew they took him down from the cross. And you saw them put him in this tomb. But now when you look in, you see that he's not there. And then he tells them, go tell the disciples. So these women take off running. They're on their way to tell the disciples of the good news. And yet they meet Jesus on the way. So they fall down, worshiping him, holding on to his feet. And Jesus says to them, go tell my brethren. Tell them to meet me in Galilee. So that's where we pick up Matthew 28, verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus gives his disciples clear instruction. He starts by saying, all power is given unto me. Now, that word power is not the word we typically think of, dunamis. It is not achieving power. Jesus is not saying achieving power has been given unto me. That word is not dunamis. It is the Greek word exousia. And it encompasses the idea of right and might. It is a word that means power to rule. He says, all power is given unto me. That word, power, encompasses the idea of right and might. It is the power of rule. It is power over persons and things. Power over persons and things. It is to have dominion, authority. Dominion and authority. So here Jesus has raised from the dead, and he says, all power is given unto me. He raises from the dead, and he calls a meeting in the mountain, and he gets right to the point. He's telling his men, the Father has given all power into my hands. All power is given unto me. In other words, I have total power. Total power in heaven and in earth. I have the right and I have the might to rule over all persons and things. Why would you have this power, Jesus? Because I stooped so low. I went to the lowest depths to save rebellious man from his misery. And because Jesus was victorious, see, we learned that he is the mighty God. Because he was victorious, he came into the world to conquer on our behalf. He came to war against wickedness and sin. He went to war on my behalf and your behalf. He conquered sin, hell, death, and the grave. And because he has conquered all things, he is the victor. And we know that to the victor goes the spoils. Amen. He says, I have total power. None left out. All power is in my hands. I rule and I reign over all persons and all things. So what then, that now I have this power? What are their instructions? Go ye therefore. In other words, because of this, because of the fact that I am victorious and I have total power, go ye. Now that phrase go ye means to set out on a journey. I want you to set out on a journey. It also means depart from this place. Set out on a journey. Depart from this place. Jesus is saying, men, I know it's nice on the mountain, but you can't stay there.
Amen.
You have to leave this mountain and you have to continue this journey.
Amen.
This is not the end for you. Amen. It's just the beginning. Amen. Go ye therefore. You can't stay here. You have work to do.
Amen.
Go ye therefore and do what? He says, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Let's break down what Jesus is saying to them. He says, teach all nations. Teach all nations. That is like saying, make disciples of all men. Because that's what that word teach means, make disciples. He's saying, I want you to go down from this mountain and I want you to make disciples of all men. I want you to tell all men who I am. You've been with me these 3 years. You've witnessed my power. You've witnessed my resurrection. You know that I am Lord. You know that what I'm telling you is true. I want you to go tell all men who I am. Tell them what you witnessed. Tell them what I have done. Tell them how I've died for them. How I've given up my life so that they may have life. Make disciples of all men. Make them learn about me. That's what Jesus is saying. Cause them to learn about me, so they can become one with me and follow me. Teach all nations. And then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In other words, get them all the way in. You don't want people saying that they believe and they don't.
Amen.
Teach them and baptize them. In other words, teach them in such a way that where they become one with me, they are saved and they are converted. They've come all the way in, because baptism is what you do when you are changed. It is what we do when we make a public statement that the old me is dead, that I live a new life. So he says, teach all nations, baptize them. And he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. When he says teaching them, that verb suggests continuous and repeated action. Continuous and repeated action. And it means instruct. Influence the understanding. Set their mind right and shape their will. It means to instruct, influence the understanding, set the mind right and shape the will. He's saying, I want you to come down from this mountain and I want you to teach all nations, make disciples of them. Get them saved and converted, baptizing them, teaching them, giving repeated instruction over and over. Tell them over and over so that their mind can be set right. Because those who do not know me and who have not trusted in me, their mind is not right. Help them get their mind right. Help them shape their will. Get them to a place where they know that I am Lord, so that I can do some things in their life. I want you to influence men to follow me. Instruct them continuously. Repeat what I have said to you over and over. Tell them what I have said to you over and over. Tell them what I have done for you over and over. Teach them so that it will shape them. And then he says,